In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. Please sit. I imagine each one of us has a particular time or an event or an occasion during Christmas period to which we look forward with great anticipation. It may vary as the years go by, but it's the one event that seems to give significance to everything else that takes place in these incredibly confusing days when they all mix together. For me, as a priest, the great moment of every Christmastide is the privilege to read this gospel from John. To use an outdated phrase, it blows my mind. It begins with that incredible bomb that has been thrown into theological understanding. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and everything was made by the Word. And just as I feel I get to stand up, having been knocked down by the wonder of that verse, we come to John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word... what's John going to say? And this Word became flesh. And the author of John uses a Greek word for flesh there, sarx, which doesn't suggest some pure distilled entity. It is the stuff of which we are made. These are two explosive verses. And it's on an occasion such as this, and they're very rare, that I wish I was not worshipping in a low church tradition, though generally that is where I'm most comfortable. Because when I come to read or to hear John 1:14, and the Word became flesh, what I want to do is to kneel in absolute wonder of that verse. So just at a time of the year between Christmas and New Year where you come to church and you expect the opportunity just to rest a while, the author of John just throws these things at you. I think our familiarity with today's gospel causes us to forget the jolt it must have been to its first readers. In the beginning for them was a phrase that had resonated through centuries, through pages and pages of scrolls. And whenever they heard the word in the beginning, they expected to follow these words. In the beginning, God created. But now there is a new beginning. Well, what seems a new beginning? As the gospel thunders with different words. But maybe here we see the most simple of combining Hebrew and Greek thought. The Hebrew with its emphasis on person, God created, and the Greek with its emphasis on reason, the Word. Now, although in a sense it is all very artificial to say that we face a new beginning as New Year's Eve clocks strike midnight and 2020 begins, nevertheless, there is something in each of us that sees this as an opportunity. This time last year, Wendy and I were anticipating 2019 with incredible joy and excitement. As we planned visits to England, to Vietnam and Cambodia, we did not know what the rest of 2019 would bring. That along with those visits to those great places, Newport Hospital would also be one of the great places which I visited with regularity. This year, looking to a new beginning, we are a little anxious, mindful of what is happening and what has happened. But I find John 1:1 an encouragement. In the beginning, in every beginning of our lives, there is the person and the purpose of God. So not one of us need fear that 2020 will be trod alone. I believe that the whole of today's gospel brings to each of us, if we allow it, a reasonable and sure hope for the year to come as we reflect on the poignancy, the proximity, and the power of God. Poignancy. Listen to these verses from the gospel. He was in the world. The world was made by him. Yet the world knew him not. Poignant. He came to his own people, and his own people received him not. Poignant. It's rather like the story of a son who is rejected by a father. It's rather like of a community that is no longer able to survive economically. It's rather like the excess wealth displayed in television advertising as children sit at home with barely enough to eat and no expectation of bright new toys. This, my friends, is all too poignant. And maybe, as sensate beings, we attempted to lose the capacity to feel how poignant the world is around us. I think the gospel should move us to experience this strange sense of poignancy more. It will be uncomfortable. It will make us squirm. So we will try and battle it as we ignore it, deflect it, or muffle it. But as we experience this poignancy, so we become malleable to love and to serve the Lord. And when you and I are most overcome by a sense of poignancy in our own lives, we can take heart, for God knows. Proximity. Back to John 1:14. The Word became flesh and lived among us. Lived. And the word there that the author of John uses is to tabernacle. It means this is no UFO visit just flying in and flying away. This is not the visit of some VIP whom we throw a wave to as they go past in their limousine. This is the one who says, I will become you and I will make my home with you. I'm staying. The Word became flesh. Bishop Temple describes Christianity as the most materialistic of all religions. There's nothing beyond its grasp. Lord George MacLeod once commented on this verse, matter matters to God. Friends, the world is actually, believe it or not, alive and vibrant with this truth. And as this finds a home deep in our being, so we cannot but, forgive the double negative, we cannot but look on others, on ourselves, on any situation as any longer godless, hopeless, beyond the redemption or beyond the pale. Everything is touched by this word. Now, this time of the year is often a time for reflection, for the inward journey. And in that journey, we will likely discover hopes, but also fears, secrets, and maybe skeletons. But I tell you this, nothing we discover, nothing that we have tried to hide, is beyond the touch and infusion of God. For the Word became flesh. Everything, even that which draws us from the love and service of the Lord. And then power. Who doesn't want more power? Rhetorical question, obviously. Who doesn't want more power? Power to live. Power to love. Power to laugh. Power to forgive. Power to walk upright each day, unashamed, set free. Well, John says this, to all who received him, to all who believed on his name, he gave power, dunamis, dynamite, to become children of God. And the Greek word for received suggests a word in which we fling open the doors of our home. And with arms outstretched, we receive the stranger into our home. And the word believe is that we make a commitment of the mind. It is the birthright of each person in church today that she or he should know this special relationship with God. A relationship that moves us beyond acknowledging God as creator somewhere out there, but that moves each of us to be able to cry out in confidence and often in the words of St. Paul in our epistle, Abba, Father, Daddy, Pop, so close. And in this relationship, I promise you, there is no room for the lurking murmur of blame, nor the overbearing sense of shame or despair. It probably is not appropriate to share New Year resolutions. One reason, of course, is that if you keep them to yourselves, no one knows whether you've been able to keep them or not. But I will share this with you all. This coming year, I hope for a heart more ready to be touched and moved by the poignancy that is around me, to really see it. I want to have eyes to see and ears to hear that God is in all things and all people and all situations. And maybe above all, I want to cherish and nurture my status as a child of God so that my spirit may not be too easily daunted or tempted to despair. Who knows? Maybe your resolutions will be something like that. Amen.